Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Vinson. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz. And don't forget, nothing you're about to hear is true. This is season one, episode 51. And there's something very, very special about this episode. Well, two things. One, can you guess?
It's season two?
It's the last episode of season one.
Oh, I jumped the gun. Okay, hold on. It's the last episode of season one?
Right. That's exactly right. And there will be a cliffhanger at the end.
One of us will be shot. Tune in.
Yeah. One of us will be shot. Hey, so our next episode will actually air in 2016. So this has been quite a run, man. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly pleased. I mean, next week we get to start calling it S2E1.
Wasn't that one of the droids on Star Wars?
Yeah, these were not one of the droids on Star Wars.
Okay.
I think that what I'm most impressed by is not how far we've come technologically, which we have. I mean, it's still just two dudes, a microphone, and the internet.
Yeah.
But and what you're doing now with the audio is just fantastic. What you're doing with the audio is the best audio engineering ever done. You're a better podcast editor than anyone has ever been. And so that's great. That's all cool. We're a little more comfortable. You can tell. You listen to us and we're just a little more laid back. It's a little more fluid.
Mm-hmm.
We're not like, oh, we have to have a topic.
Yeah.
You know, we just kind of go with it. Yeah, like, we're not like those hoity-toity shows that have topics.
That's right. Topic, schmopic. Whatever
all of that
comes,
is
out,
great.
Comes out.
I love all of that. The fact that we're on the radio is great. I love it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what I'm most proud of is the workmanlike day in, day out, or should I say week in, week out, we do the show.
Yeah.
It's like it's like my buddy posted about writing. He's like, you know how I know someone's a writer? They write every day.
Right.
You know how I know someone's not a writer? They don't write every day.
Yeah, like, they spend more time coming up with excuses not to write.
And there's always a reason not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like in our early discussions, you know, being nostalgic here. In some of our early discussions, we talked about writing and creativity and being creative. And it's not, I mean, you get this great idea, you can sit down and write it, draw it, talk about it, whatever. That's great. Anybody can do that. How about when your kids need you, and your wife needs you, your spouse needs you, or your job needs you, or your house needs you, or there's a great show on TV, or there's a pizza that's not going to eat itself. And all you want to do is lay around on the sofa and do nothing.
Right.
Okay, now be creative then. Or at least put the effort in to be creative. And you may lay down some shit. I mean, that just sucks. Mm-hmm. God knows. We don't have 52 pristine, perfect episodes. But we have 52 goddamn episodes.
Are we not listening to the same 52 episodes?
Oh, they're all pristine, are they?
Yes, they're perfect. They're fantastic. They're all,
well, you think about this. How many damn movies has Tom Hanks made, right? Like dozens.
If not halves of dozens.
Halves of dozens. And how many Oscars does he have? It's like one or two. So not every performance was Oscar-worthy.
That's true.
But maybe. I don't know. All I'm saying is the workmanlike practicing the craft and just showing up for work every week. That's what you and I do. That's what we show up for work. Mm-hmm. We put in the time, and we put something out there for our listeners to listen to because we care.
We care about them primarily, but it's just, I mean, it reminds me of the one you had said something like, oh God, I think we were like 2 months into it. And you're like, you know how I know I'm addicted to doing this show? Because regardless of how I feel that day, we do the show at the end of the day. Yeah. And it's true. You can lay around, I'm kind of sick. I don't really feel so good. My voice is kind of scratchy. It's like, nope. But then, you know, about a half an hour before showtime, we're like, all right, let's fucking do this.
Time to do the show. It's that time of year, you know.
Which time is that?
Well, it's the Christmas time of year.
Oh, that's right.
Our listeners are probably still digesting the ham and turkey and tenderloin and lamb or whatever the hell they had for Christmas dinner. Plus, they're still busy returning the gifts that they got.
That's right. Like. That's right.
The music that everyone's been listening to for the last 6 weeks is no longer on the radio.
That's true. It ended how many days ago, technically?
Three days ago.
3 days ago, yes. You were no longer hearing that type of music as of 3 days ago.
My buddy Adam Carolla points out, he's like, okay, all this shit we do only at Christmas time. Christmas carols. I mean, if they were so goddamn good, we'd be listening to them for the rest of the year, too.
Right.
It's like, oh, that Joy to the World song. I love that song.
That's right.
Well, if you really love that song, it'd be on your fucking iPod playlist.
Yeah, it'd be on your playlist. You'd be
listening to it while you work out.
Right. Well, you know what was weird today? Today I stopped off at the grocery store to pick up some alcohol, you know, because that's what I buy at grocery stores. And it was like one of those...
Rubbing alcohol?
Yes, rubbing alcohol, because, you know, I'm...
Which, by the way, it's called rubbing alcohol. How often do people actually use it for rubbing?
I'm curious where we're supposed to rub it.
It should be called putting on a sore and having it sting alcohol.
That's right.
Anyway, proceed.
Okay, so we get out of the car, and it was like one of those scenes in the movies where, like, you know those scenes. You don't notice something until, like, the character points it out. Where, like, they're, like, doing something, and they're like, the birds have stopped. Where are the birds? And then something horrifying happens because, like, the birds know better. Well, we got out of the car, and we're like, where's the Salvation Army bell? It's not ringing. And we like freaked out. We're like, something's going on. We don't. And there was almost too quiet. It was almost too quiet. There was no like hook with a missing pot. You know, like the guy went home or something. It was just gone.
It's like that tsunami. Before the tsunami, all the animals ran up onto the hill.
Exactly. Like,
That's exactly what it was like.
It was the Salvation Army tsunami.
Salvation Army tsunami. See, this is why people have trouble learning the English language. It's like you're listening to the Pimsleur tapes. And it's like, now repeat after me. It's the Salvation Army tsunami. Salvation Army tsunami. Salvation Army tsunami.
That was like...
It's like part of that was Japanese.
Yeah. We don't care. It was like the other day... The library here in town has a Facebook page, and apparently one of the officials went to Cuba, and they had sent back some pictures, and they're like, you know, they hijacked a bookmobile, take this bookmobile to Cuba. Anyway,
they're like Kramer and Newman.
They got down there. We're going to Cuba. Somebody sent back a picture because you know in Cuba they haven't bought a new car in like 60 years. They're all driving around in like 50-year-old, you know, 1950s cars. Well, the best part was being that it was part of the library. Somebody had taken a picture of a library, and sure as shit, it said biblioteca. it was like you know, Spanish 101. They really call them that down there. I thought it was funny. I found it humorous.
It is funny. I'm laughing.
On the inside.
You can add.
Where it counts.
I'll fix that in post.
I'll probably just take it out in post. I don't know. I thought it was
so
funny.
Speaking of Star Wars.
Should we put a little Star Wars theme in there for the. Get the audience fired up?
Sure. In entertainment news, the Star Wars The Force Awakens, which is Star Wars episode... See, they were not as disciplined with their episode numbering convention as we are. Because I think that... Well, they may be caught up now. What is this, 7?
It would be 7, yes.
8?
No, it'd be 7. That's
7 or 8?
7.
7?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are 6.
Star Wars The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. So here are some numbers. Everybody else is doing their whatever shtick they're doing. But here are a few numbers. 529 million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That's the global box office opening, which beat the previous record of 525 million held by Jurassic World. Which goes to prove that the amount of money a movie makes has nothing to do with how good the movie is.
Yeah, and how Jurassic World, really? That's the big one. I never even saw
that.
Well,
I think the lesson here is if you have a movie franchise that people like, make another one. Just God almighty, just make another one.
Just keep churning them out.
It's like the Bourne. If they came out with the Bourne universe right now,
that's right.
Matt Damon is the Bourne universe. Be like $250 million right there.
The Bourne abortion.
Okay. here's a surprising one. 58% percentage of this weekend's audience that was male.
58%.
Yeah.
I bet it's reversed in a Star Trek movie. I'm willing to bet money. That it would be reversed.
63% percentage of this weekend's audience who are over the age of 25.
How do they determine that? When you buy your ticket, are you like, are you over 25? How is that figured?
They probably do. It's like elections. They do exit interviews and shit like that. They take a representative sample. They go to a representative number of theaters.
Well, you and I both know that a representative sample is not even close to accurate.
How do you and I both know that? What do you mean you and I both know?
I would assume.
I think that's a technique. I think that's a debate. See, gets back to something we talked about earlier. People don't know how to argue. I think that's a good technique. What you just showed there is that you know how to argue. Because you always go, if you have something that may or may not stick, you just go, well, you and I both know. And the other person's not obviously not going to go, well, I didn't know that.
Oh, I have to change my game now. You figured it out.
It's kind of like the, you know, the, there is enough dust on the moon that if you piled it all up, you would cover the island of Manhattan, in 472 feet of moon dust. Somebody goes, really? And you could go, yeah, look it up. A, you just lent a ton of credibility to your argument by saying, look it up.
Yep.
B, they're not going to go look it up.
Nope.
Because they don't really care enough to go look it up. They're just like,
Or they don't want to be proven wrong, so they'll start goose-stepping right along with you. Like, yeah, what he said is true. It is that much
dust.
That's
what I heard.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
There's, next thing you know, like somebody's coming to you and going, have you heard that there's 475 million cubic feet of moon dust in New York City? What?
It's like the telephone game we played in elementary school,
yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
It comes back to haunt you.
All right.
Anyway.
$4 billion. The price Disney paid for the franchise's production company, Lucasfilm, in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
$4.8 billion. Mm-hmm. How much the Star Wars franchise has made since its original installment in 1977? $1.4 billion. 1977's Star Wars U.S. total box office, adjusted for inflation.
I was going to say, the original
Star Wars has made $1.4 billion.
Right.
10. Number of years between the last Star Wars film, Revenge of the Sith, and The Force Awakens.
Hold on. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the number of actual Earth years.
What?
Number of years between the last Star Wars film, which was called Revenge of the Sith, and The Force Awakens.
Revenge, what? I don't remember there being a movie.
Uh-huh. Of the Sith.
Is this one of those things where you're making it up?
No, I'm reading it right on the...
I don't.
You can see it just like Steve Harvey. I'm going to show you.
I don't.
You can read it right here. It's an honest thing.
You better check.
No, what's your confusion? Describe your confusion. Maybe I can clear it up for you.
I don't recall there being any other movie after Return of the Jedi. I don't understand. You better check Snopes on that.
Okay, now I think you're fucking with
me. Those movies weren't real Star Wars movies. That's what I'm getting.
Well, in that case, 32.
There you go.
Number of years between The Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens.
No, that I can believe.
Okay, now you get to start guessing what the numbers are. Ready?
Sure.
73.
George Lucas's age.
Oh, so close.
Harrison Ford's age.
Yes!
Yes!
Ding, 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 ding. All
right. You're like so close. 522.
522.
Yoda when he was middle-aged.
I'll give you a hint. 522 days.
Oh, until whatever the next one's supposed to be called.
Star Wars Episode 8. So anyway, I have not yet seen the movie, but we're going to go see it soon. The whole family's going to go.
Well, here's the thing about
I did hear from Matt Atchity said, like... So I was listening. Matt Atchity's the guy that runs Rotten Tomatoes, mm-hmm. and RottenTomatoes.com, and he said that it is a fantastic movie, like a very, very good movie. Mm-hmm. And he also said that if you haven't seen any of the other Star Wars movies, it's fine. It's a great entry point into the franchise. His words. So when I suggested to the family that we go see mm-hmm. it. My 10-year-old daughter said, well, first we have to see the other ones. And then I said, well, Matt Atchity, the founder of Rotten Tomatoes, says that you don't need to because this one's a great entry point into the franchise. And my daughter said, oh, well, as long as Matt Atchity said. Because, of course, nothing I say holds any weight.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, God, man. Okay, tangent. Tangent alert.
We need a tangent alert theme song.
Alert. Tangent alert. There's a tangent coming, and it's probably Steve thinking of something to say. So last night, the kids are folding. We went shopping yesterday so the kids could buy each other presents and buy, you know, the mom presents and stuff.
Right, right.
So we get back, and we get back about 4:30, 5 o'clock, and the kids are like, oh, let's wrap our presents. Like, cool. So they're wrapping their presents. I'm having a few beers, watching a little football. An hour or so goes by, and I'm like, whatever happened to our kids? You remember them?
Remember when we had kids?
So poison. Anyway, that's a tangent within a tangent. So I find Elizabeth, and she is still wrapping the original present. She's used like 3/4 of a roll of wrapping paper.
Right.
2 rolls of tape. And she is cutting like 2 square inch pieces and just like taping them to the box.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was like, would you like me to teach you how to wrap presents sometime? And she's like, yeah, that would be great. How about tonight? I was like, okay, that's cool. You want me to help you with this one? And she's like, no, I'll just finish this one. You can help me with the next one. I was like, oh, that's awesome. I'll teach you how to wrap presents on the next one. So I go in there. She comes out. She's like, okay, Dad, I'm ready for the next one. I'm like, all right, well, I'll teach you. I shall teach you. And I'm about to lay some wisdom on this shit, right?
That's right.
And so we get the paper rolled out, and it's maybe 2 inches too short. And I said, that's okay. I've got, you know, because she already used the rest of the roll on this tiny little package.
It's like, yeah, right.
Not enough. Like, it's like 2 inches short to wrap all the way around.
Right.
So I said, don't worry. I got a trick for that. Let's just continue. And I'll show you the trick in a minute. Like, but first I want to show you the proper way to wrap a present. And she's like, oh, okay. Wait a minute. I have an idea, she says. And I'm like, cool, but let's wrap it first, and then you can tell me what your idea is. She's like, well, but no, I need to tell you my idea first. And I said, you can and now I'm getting pissed. I'm like, you're not allowed to have ideas yet, okay? I've been wrapping presents for 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I've wrapped thousands of presents in my lifetime. You're not allowed to have an idea this time, all right? We can do little daddy-daughter, fun, creative, let's discover together shit on shit I don't know anything about, all right? But right now, I'm teaching you how to wrap presents. You will listen to my way. You will learn the proper way to wrap presents. Then you can have an idea of your own and try
right.
it for all I care,
right.
right? You can fuck it up on your own. But if you want me to teach you, you will sit, you will listen, and you will watch, and you will repeat what I do. You will imitate what I do, and you will learn my rules, all right, before you are allowed to start creating your own goddamn present wrapping rules.
You're like the drill instructor from Full Metal Jacket. You're just like... I could totally see you doing that.
So anyway, my point being, kids these days, they won't even listen. It's like, no, you don't get to have an opinion yet. You can have an opinion after I teach you the right way to do it.
I think what it boils down to is when it comes to, especially when it comes to rapping with kids, is they don't understand. They have no concept of what it means to get to the end of a roll of wrapping paper and be able to hit your brother or sister in the head with it, because they don't. It's that floppy kind of half roll thing. It's not like a full fledged roll, so they don't get
right.
that.
True.
So right there, that speaks volumes to what kids today don't have any concept of.
I think wrapping paper is too inexpensive and there's too much of it.
They don't
understand the concept of saving wrapping paper from year to year.
No, they don't understand folding it, smoothing it out, putting
it
away.
We had to be careful. You had to, like, as you're unwrapping it, you just kind of peel the tape off. If the person who wrapped it was nice, they folded the tape over a little bit to mm-hmm. give you a little finger
give
hold.
You a little...
And you could just kind of ease the tape off of there, you know? And then you fold it up, right. And your mom folds it up, and she puts it away, and you use it next year.
I swear to God, my grandmother never bought wrapping paper. No, wait, she bought it once.
Yeah,
because
first,
she would take
her
it.
First Christmas.
You know, I mean,
she was setting up house. She was setting up house, and her mom gave her some utensils, and you know, she bought some plates at a garage sale, and then
she bought wrapping paper at a garage sale. It wasn't even new.
Exactly. That's what occurred to me. She's like, "Ooh, wrapping paper for sale." It was used. I mean, it's not like new wrapping paper. It was used. They're like, it was 2 old people who knew they were going to die before the next Christmas. And they're like, I hope you get many years of good use out of this wrapping paper.
I mean, and that wrapping paper could be used for wallpaper. It was just that thick. Now, you know, around here, I don't know how it is with you, but around here, like, standard operating procedure on Christmas Day is either the biggest box becomes a bin or you just grab a garbage bag. It's like,
there has to be an enormous amount of waste.
Back
in the day, if your paper was starting to, like if you had leftover paper or the paper was getting a little thin, you just line your drawers with it.
That's right.
And your cabinets, it'd be like contact paper. Kids these days, and this goes to the thinness of it too. I blame the Chinese. They should charge more for their labor. If they charge more for their labor, we'd still have high quality American made wrapping paper, and kids would understand the value of a good roll of fucking paper.
You know what? I would have to agree with that, because you can see through today's wrapping paper. You know, you go to like the dollar store and it's like, ooh, look at this. I get this gigantic. Another thing is, ooh, you know, I'm at the dollar store. I get this gigantic roll of wrapping paper for a dollar. I get it home. There's like 3 foot of wrapping paper on it. It's like, what the fuck is this? Who did? And not even like the solid roll. It's the foldy up kind of squishy one that I can't even hit my kids in the head with. They don't understand what that means. They get that boom sound, you know, because, you know, me and my brother, we used to beat the hell out of each other with them things. You know, like lightsabers,
Exactly like lightsabers, which brings us back to our main topic, Star Wars. So, I don't know what this new movie's doing, but apparently it is above reproach, because usually the diehard fans are very critical, but the diehard fans are the ones that are singing its praises.
It's the gun control of Star Wars movies.
It's the gun control.
You either have to love it, or don't say anything about it, because you'll get attacked either way.
Well, everybody, the big thing now is like, don't say any spoilers. Mm-hmm. One guy actually on my Facebook feed actually put a thing out that says, if you see it, don't say anything about it. Please. And he's like serious. He's it's like a fucking NBC The More You Know commercial. It's like, please don't ruin this just because you know there are people who are excited to see it, and just don't ruin it for them. And then somebody says, how about if I just say I didn't like it or I did like it?
You're right.
Either way.
Well, you know,
and he goes, well, that's kind of setting up an emotional expectation, and maybe that would even be. And somebody else is like, fuck off,
that,
man.
That,
like, I.
If somebody tells you that they don't want you setting up an emotional expectation, just slap them. It's like, that's ridiculous.
I'll dangle a PBR from a fishing line, and as they get close, I'll just fucking hit them with the fishing pole.
That's a reel it in and like smack them with the.
Look, PBR, beard trimmer. So,
well, while we're on the subject of hipsters, you want to hear my daughter Arlo's latest joke?
I sure do.
Do you know where you drown a hipster?
Where?
In the mainstream.
Oh, that's good.
I'm thinking she needs to be part. She needs to be a segment on the show now. that's good. I know, right? That's like two great smart jokes in 2 weeks.
That's smart, right there.
I know, right?
That's funny. Oh man, hipsters. But. Even though I haven't seen the show, I have heard some of the spoilers.
Oh, see, I have only heard one. And you know what kills me? Speaking of spoilers,
spoiler alert.
Well, it's not a spoiler alert towards the movie, but your buddy talking about emotional expectations and stuff. It reminded me of our buddy Andy, who in the 90s when we were all young and single and would run the movies like all the time. If he saw a movie, the race was to get to the theater before he did, because
he would come in.
Well, he would show up. He'd show up at your house and be like, "Hey, I just saw, I don't know, The Crying Game." Not that he would, but I'm just setting, you know.
Yeah, Andy. Oh, I just saw the Crying Game.
And you'd be like, you'd be like,
who are you?
You'd be like, all right, don't say nothing. I don't want to hear anything about it because I'm going to go see it next week. And he'd go, all right, but the chick's a dude. Well, shut up! in like 2 seconds, he would have ruined an entire movie for you. Now, I don't think the crime today. Okay, you've seen The Crying Game, right?
I was going to see it next weekend.
Oh.
What chick's a dude? What do you mean the chick's a dude?
Nobody.
What do you mean?
Nothing you just heard was true.
It's like, no, there are no dudes in this movie. Don't worry about it.
But no, you can't.
Anyway, I've seen The Crying Game. I know the secret to The Crying Game, and I know Bruce Willis is actually a ghost.
Oh, now you really ruined it. Because I had Sixth Sense, like, downloaded on my DVR ready to go. That's ruined.
Damn. Well, that's on you. That's my feeling on some of these things. It's like, if you haven't seen it yet and you still care, that's on you.
Well, you know what else is funny? Speaking of having not seen it yet, when I was talking to Andy about this the other day because he came by the house and Carl didn't, but Andy and I got like really drunk and had a good time. And we were talking about Star Wars New Hope. And I told him, I said, you know, there's the joke going around, you know, May the 4th be with you, because Star Wars New Hope came out in May. Early May, I did not see it until probably late August of that year. Now, do the math. That's halves of dozens of months.
Yeah, if not sixes of months.
Movies, regardless of how much money they make, do not stay in the theaters that long.
True.
Even like your other Disney blockbusters of this year were not in the theaters for 4 months or however long it ended up being. So now I'm like, now the pressure is on, like, I got to see it soon because it'll be gone. It'll make 800, they'll make up a new number for how much money it makes in the 3 days it was out. But if I don't see it, it'll go away. And then I got to wait till Christmas to see it on DVD. And then I can't buy the DVD because there's no special features on the DVD. They're all on the Blu-ray now. So it's too much pressure. It's just too much pressure to go to the movies.
Well, I mean, all right. So if you're planning on going to see it, earmuffs, all right? Turns out, I can't do it. I cannot do it.
The moment has passed. It turns out that Spock dies and Jar Jar Binks is really Princess Leia's father. Uh-huh. And Jar Jar Binks is really Uhura.
No, the jokes I had thought of were well, one of them I messaged to you that R2-D2 is actually a woman and falls in love with C-3PO.
That's right.
But more importantly, here's my question about Star Wars in general.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What is C-3PO's job?
He's an interpreter.
Okay, mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? He takes something a person says, translates it into the other person's native language, right?
Correct.
Like live, like quick, like on the spot, right? You speak to this machine, and then he... So my question is, mm-hmm. And it's what I said to you, incredibly super advanced, high tech, super terrible design. Right? Do you really need a fully functioning robot with legs, arms, fingers, a head, what looks like a mouth and eyes and intelligence to the point that it has a relationship with a small robot? All it does is interpret. I have fucking Google Translate, right? In the Star Wars universe, you could probably have something that clips onto your belt that does what C-3PO does. Yeah, you have this big, clunky, and it walks like a human. It doesn't even roll. It's not even tank treads like a Roomba. It just walks, right? It's like, what? That's the worst design ever. So everybody goes, oh, Lucas, what a genius. He invented this universe. And I'm like, dude, you want to invent a believable universe? Go talk to J.R.R. Tolkien for a second. I mean, that man was so imaginative. He had two middle initials.
That's right. Right now, MP is like yelling at the speaker.
Well,
Star Wars okay. purist. Don't get me wrong. I really am one to a point. I mean, I when I watch these movies, I watch them as I did when I was. This is a funny thing. I watch like New Hope, like I did when I was 11 years old, and then I think when I was 11, my mom dropped me and my 7-year-old brother off at a theater at night for a couple hours and then came back to find us. Now that's child abuse by today's standards. It's child neglect by today's standards. Kids today, they don't know the struggle. But no, I mean, I watch it with the same, you know, awe as a kid. But yeah,
I do too.
If you get too far into it,
when I'm sitting there watching it, for example, I liked the prequel trilogy. I know that puts me in a...
Wait, you watched what?
I know the prequel trilogy.
What are those?
I know that puts me in a class of like obviously not a Star Wars purist, and I know it's not cool to have liked those, but I thought they were good. I mean, you just look, if you're sitting there watching a movie about a galaxy far, far away, long, long ago, and people are shooting each other with lasers and flying across the vast emptiness of space and making the whatever run in however many parsecs.
Which is a unit of distance, by the way, not actual time, but distance.
Right, that's a very popular thing to point out on the internet.
I know, right?
Well, if your problem is like, okay, well, why the big walking elephant robots? That's your only problem with it. That's what pulls you out of the movie. Then you don't need to be going to see this movie in the first place. So to be clear, the minute I sit my ass in that seat with a gigantic tub of popcorn with too much fake butter and a 3-gallon cup of Coke Zero, like, you have me. Whatever movie it is, I don't care. The sound, the light, everything. I'm totally engrossed. So all I'm talking about is like the imaginativeness, if that's a word.
It is now.
Of the universe created. Right.
Well, I will say this much. I will say this much about the prequels. I can sum my opinion or favoritism up about the prequels in two words. Natalie Portman.
Prepare yourself to enter a strange new world of amazing sights and sounds. Starcrag. From deep space, from the farthest reaches of the haunted universe, comes the supreme galactic spectacle. Starcrag, rated PG.
Don't panic. It's Steve and Paul on RFI.
I'm going to start calling you Rapey.
Why are you going to call me Rapey?
Because I'm the rapist and you the rapee. Yeah, fuck it. Let's talk about Trump. Let it go. It's time to talk Trump on the Don't Panic Show. The candidate of God,
hypnotizes with his hair to trick the whores. Viva Il Duce. He feeds on our ignorance. If he wins, our ratings will soar. We'll do the show from Canada.
Donald Trump says Clinton's bathroom break during the debate is too disgusting to talk about. Now he's talking about Hillary Clinton's bathroom breaks. By the way, I think Hillary Clinton taking a bathroom break during the debate probably would be news if Donald Trump weren't running for president.
Yeah.
I think just the fact that a woman during a debate had to take a break to go to the bathroom is newsworthy.
Clearly. I need to know why. What kind of break was it?
I don't know. But what Donald said was he said, I know where she went. It's disgusting. I don't want to talk about it. No, it's too disgusting. Don't say it. It's disgusting.
So does he just not assume, does he just pretend women don't go to the bathroom?
He said, later in the night, Trump told the crowd that he cannot picture Clinton as president because she never wins at anything. He then brought up the 2008 Democratic primary, which Clinton lost to Barack Obama, for our readers who didn't know that. Then he says, she was favored to win, and she got schlonged, Trump said.
Is that a...
Turning a vulgar noun for a large penis into a verb.
Thank you.
Once again, who writes this shit? This segment is called, Who Writes This Shit? I love that somebody, some serious reporter somewhere is like, this is the Washington Post, man. This isn't like Weekly World News. Some reporter's like, I have to report that he says that she was favored to win and she got schlonged. And I have to add the part that says, turning a vulgar noun for a large penis into a verb. Okay, first of all, I don't know who this reporter is. It's either a woman or a gay man with a small penis. Because the word schlong applies to any penis, yes, not just a large penis.
Right.
First of all.
Right. Sure.
Second of all, we all know Barack Obama has a large penis. During the last GOP debate in August, Megyn Kelly of Fox News brought up some of Trump's more controversial comments and asked him, does that sound to you like the temperament of a man we should elect as president? And how will you answer the charge from Hillary Clinton, who is likely to be the Democratic nominee, that you are part of the war on women? Trump has called that question unfair and launched a vicious attack against Kelly. During a CNN interview after the debate, Trump said of Kelly, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes. Blood coming out of her... wherever. Trump later said he meant to say ears, but many assumed he was saying that Kelly was menstruating.
How is this even stuff?
What? Well, sure. Hang on. This is what the writer was thinking, mm-hmm, and what he actually wrote. I'll tell you what he actually wrote before his editor changed it to... that Kelly
I like how you know what the writer was thinking.
Yeah, I do.
Your insight.
I belong to those the blog. So this is what he actually wrote. Trump said of Kelly, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever. Trump later said he meant to say ears, but many assumed he meant to say pussy.
Wow.
That was the original article. And then the editor stepped in and said, maybe we shouldn't say bleeding out of her pussy. Maybe we should say menstruating.
The thing about him is, like, and I've noticed this has been happening. If Facebook can be considered reality, there'll be like a there'll be a Trumpism that gets put out there on Facebook, and you know, I would respond to it or put something out or repost it or whatever, and then I would get criticized. You know, no, he didn't say that, or this isn't really what he meant. And now most of the people who said that kind of stuff are people whom I respect. They're not talking anymore.
No, because, no, I think I said this a few episodes ago. I'll say it again. I've had that same reaction. Like, I'm like, well, no, I'm sure he didn't say that. And then I go look it up.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
No, he, and this isn't like some news organization getting it wrong. This is his own PR mm-hmm. people. Okay, from the New York Times. All the news that's fit to print. Finally, an explanation for Hillary Clinton's long bathroom break. As the third Democratic debate faded to a five-minute commercial break, Hillary Clinton had exactly 1 minute and 45 seconds to walk out of the gymnasium at St. Anselm College to the ladies' restroom and 1 minute and 45 seconds to return to her place on stage. Not a lot of wiggle room.
Nice.
With the men's restroom... With the men's room significantly closer to the debate stage, Mrs. Clinton's male opponents, Bernie Sanders and Martin O'Malley, made it back quicker. And, well, it takes women longer, as Mrs. Clinton pointed out after returning slightly late from a commercial break during the first Democratic debate in Las Vegas. But on Saturday, the ABC News hosts, tied to the schedule of live TV, proceeded with their questioning about the economy with an empty podium awaiting Mrs. Clinton. Sorry, she deadpanned when she finally took her place. Aides said that they had been concerned during the walkthrough before the debate that the ladies' room was such a schlep. The campaign's vice chairwoman, Huma Abedin, had timed the distance to and from the podium and expressed concerns to organizers. But the gymnasium setting meant there were no closer options. She relayed to Mrs. Clinton that she would have to be speedy. She'd have to be speedy when she goes to PB, said several aides involved in debate planning. In the end, the moment became one of the most talked about what seemed an otherwise low-impact debate. The momentarily empty podium prompted jokes that Mrs. Clinton, so focused on defeating the Republicans, had perhaps decided to watch the primary debate from a Manchester bar with a row of glistening ladies' rooms nearby. So, a couple of thoughts. One, oh my God.
That's news, man.
First, it was her hair.
All I see, all I vision is, like, the clack of her sensible heels rapidly, yep. and her pantsuit, the static that was created. She's got, like, the... She's got, like, the can of, like, static guards because she's going so fast. She's got to keep them pants from getting all tight.
The steps become quicker. Clack, 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 clack. As she tries to hold her legs together. Clack, 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 clack. And then you start hearing, ah, shit, 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 shit.
And then, of course, she gets in there and she goes, who didn't put the seat down? And then, where's the toilet paper?
She goes, whoa! Ah, oh, God damn it! Who didn't put the seat
And where's
down?
The toilet paper? Why is there never any toilet paper?
Can you spare a square? Right. Okay, so all of that aside, the first thing is, like, why is this news? The second thing is, what really went on during those 1 minute and 45 seconds? Because I swear to God, this woman leaves no stone unturned. She leaves no T uncrossed and no I undotted. I guarantee you that the walk to the women's restroom or wherever she was supposed to go was not farther or did not take longer than the men's. I will guarantee you that.
It's the water closet gate.
It's the water closet gate. Every scandal ends in gate now. It's the water closet gate. So, you know, this is an organ. That's the one thing that qualifies her to be president She has an organization that leaves nothing to chance.
Well,
the like her husband getting a blowjob from one of the interns, that's what pissed her off so much. Is it was like, you went off script.
Well, what kills me, speaking of her husband, is like, you know, seriously, you know, he was like, okay, you're married. I was married for a while. You know, he was like at the door going, honey, you gotta get about, you gotta get honey, back out there, honey. They're gonna
shut up. I'm shitting. <Sorry. laughs> Hey, maybe that was it. Maybe she was pinching one off. Maybe she had Mexican for lunch or whatever, and it was like burning.
Could be.
It's like, ow.
It could be. It could be any number.
Fucking hot sauce. I mean, all right, let me talk about poop for a second. All right, everything else gets everything, but corn, other than corn, everything else gets processed. It gets absorbed by the body. It gets turned into something else. It becomes something different when it comes out.
Corn
the
and
end,
red,
except for hot
corn
sauce.
And red peppers. They don't red.
Corn, red peppers, and hot sauce. And whatever is in asparagus. No, because asparagus pee does not smell like asparagus. If it did, nobody would ever eat asparagus.
Right.
Like, this smells like pee after I've eaten asparagus. I'm not eating this. but you know, after a nice spicy meal, that's how I know how long a meal takes. By the way, I had a lot of biology in high school and more in college. It taught me about like how long it takes from the moment you ingest something, and then there's a gastroenterological process that occurs, and it takes the body a certain amount of time to pass it from the stomach to the intestine to the blah blah blah. I've forgotten all of that, but I know exactly how long it takes for a nice spicy Mexican to get to my asshole and light it on fire.
Wait, which spicy Mexican?
I don't know. He's been deported by Trump.
How fast it takes a spicy Mexican to get to my asshole. It's like,
it was Jennifer Lopez. Right. She's a spicy Mexican.
Spicy one. Never.
It took her exactly 25 minutes to get from my mouth to my asshole.
I think I've seen those videos. Did I ever tell you about the time that the first time my daughter Arlo tried asparagus? Okay, I made her asparagus, you know, and I made it, you know, like in the juices from the, you know, the steak that we had. So it was delicious. Well, she'd never had it before. Set it all out there. And she takes a couple bites, decides she doesn't like it, and she goes, it tastes like peanut butter. So at that point,
I
got up, I went into the kitchen, got the peanut butter out of the pantry and threw it in the garbage. I'm like, there's something wrong with your peanut butter.
That's hilarious. Oh, man. How are we doing on time?
Hold on. Let me check. Oh, we're about due. Unless you got if you got a closing joke or whatever, or how you want to do it.
I have a serious on a serious thing.
Because I can cut out stuff like last week. It was like Hillary Adele. Hillary. Okay, we've talked about Hillary, but this Adele shit is funny.
Right.
So I'm gonna.
No, okay. That was great. And that fucking Martha song. I was listening to it on the way home from work, and I was not properly prepared. Because I knew it was coming. I knew you were going to play it, but I didn't remember what it was like. And I remember the song as soon as the music started playing, but I did not remember like the whole story of the lyrics. And I'm like, oh my God, I could take my seatbelt off and just steer into this embankment.
At the end when he's like, and I remember quiet nights trembling next to you, I'm just like, cut my wrists.
It's like, am I supposed to slit vertically or across? I can't remember.
I'm gonna make an X just to be sure.
I'll just do both. I'll just do a cross. They'll think it was some sort of religious ritual. You're like, it kind of was.
Yes.
No, that was. And then when I got home, I thought, oh, this is gonna be great. Martha by Tom Waits we'll depress everyone, and then we'll lead right in to the Do It Indie Radio Hour big-ass Christmas special. Joy, joy, everybody. We have a Christmas special led by Tolan and MP, who's Jewish. There, I said it. I hope I didn't just out him. You cut that out, right? Cut that out.
I didn't know Cavalier was a Jewish name. His last name.
His last name is Zion.
Oh, well, that's like today. I'm at the grocery store, you know, buying alcohol, and you know the checkout girl. You know, I don't have a card, but I have a phone number because I lost my card. So when I read off my phone number, she's like Schultz, and I'm like, yeah. She goes, that's my last name. I'm like, okay. And she's like, are you related to so-and-so? I'm like, no. Well, and then the girl next to her, the other checkout girl was like, well, are you related to so-and-so? And she's like, well, no. And I'm like, neither am I. I said, well, you know, we all snuck over here after the war, and nobody wants to admit they're related to anybody.
That's funny.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, no, that was the whole should I be offended thing about the episode about the breast and the brisket.
Dude, that was beautiful. What's in this?
This is the best biscuit I've ever had. I think
brisket. We can all agree, though, that like a brisket is delicious. There's nothing better than a good old brisket.
Done properly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. All I want to say is I appreciate all your hard work making us sound great, making us look good.
I'm just following your lead, man. And
yeah, that's awesome. Hey, it's like I'm driving the motorboat and you're on the water skis.
And motorboat.
And thank you for listening. Each and every one of you, whether this is your first episode or your 52nd, thank you for listening. We promise season 2 will be bigger and better than ever. And please, if you like what you hear, tell a friend. If you don't like what you hear, tell a friend and lie to them and tell them it's great. But whatever you do, don't you forget, nothing we've said for the past year has been true. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. Do It Indie Radio Hour is next. Thanks for listening.